You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter has nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
That's right. Good evening. And welcome to ENN on the Michael K. Show. I'm Peter Rosenberg. I can be reached at Rosenberg Radio on Twitter or Instagram, where you can see the aforementioned beautiful golf stroke from Topgolf this past weekend. I'd like to start off today by saying good evening to Michael.
There's a three-pointer around the rim and out.
Beautiful job by RJ. I did not hear that at all. That was tremendous.
I'm good at NBA play-by-play.
You really? There's a future. Let's hear it one more time. That's almost as good as your baseball skills.
There's a three-pointer around the rim and out.
Now I'd like to say good evening to Don.
I think I'm saying this right, Peter. Stench in Mamaroneck. You're on ESPN New York. How are you, sir?
Oh, hey, no, it's Bennett.
And also, how did you know Stench was a sir?
Yeah, that's a good point. The name Stench, we all know, can be so many things.
I do
it's
well.
It's without gender.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anybody that would actually proudly be nicknamed Stench, that's a male.
You're hoping so, certainly.
That's what I envision.
Yeah, I think it's the right thought there. Well, guys, the Washington football team has made history for a good reason. They've welcomed the first black team president in NFL history, Jason Wright. Graduate of Northwestern, former NFL running back, was in the league for 7 years, got an MBA from the University of Chicago. He's 38 years old. He's also the league's youngest team president. Ron Rivera will remain in charge of the football side of the operation, while Wright will run the business side. A separation that Wright says is, quote, super clear. I saw him earlier on Good Morning America talking to Strahan. Seems like a very capable guy. I got to tell you guys, I don't know much about him. But listen, we're all going to doubt everything Dan Snyder does, and with good reason. But you just hope that at some point they start taking steps in the right direction, and maybe this hire could be it.
Well, they're the first to do something in the positive in a long, long time. Very embarrassing offseason for them, but this is good.
Yeah, to say the least. I mean, they're still running that independent investigation themselves, which isn't necessarily my favorite thing, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I'm running an investigation of things I've done wrong in the past too. I'll make that public when I'm done.
I can't wait. Your private investigation. It's the only way to do it.
This is just of everything that I've done poorly or wrong in my life.
You're sure?
And this is
coming
from somebody who's publicly said that he doesn't have a bone in his closet, never mind a skeleton.
That's
so Michael
right.
Michael ain't finding anything in his little personal investigation.
But I'm going to really dig, though, because I'm doing a private investigation, so I'm going to really dig.
You can trust him.
I'm very trustworthy.
Now, this is something we have to talk about. We've only gotten to mention a couple times today. But Joe Judge is really running a tight ship for the New York Giants. Bunch of changes.
I want to declare myself a big Judge guy.
You've been.
I am
been
on the
really,
Judge bandwagon now.
Yeah, you've really been getting after that these days. In fact, I have some. I'm not exactly sure. I think it's a great idea.
Well, oh no, he's a tremendous coach. I love the hire for the Giants.
You're really running hard with this, huh?
Yep.
Well, see where it goes. Can I see him coach a game?
Yeah, I think wait and see would be the appropriate way to
go. I'm in now.
Let's hear from Joe Judge on why he's decided to not have names on the jerseys of his players.
I never commented on jersey names when I got here anyway, to be honest with you. I've been places where we've gone entire offseason without numbers. To me, it's important to know who the players are on the field across from you by their body type and how they move, more so than having to see a nameplate to identify your teammate. We should know each other as coaches and players by how we move and the way we carry ourselves. When a quarterback gets under center, I expect them to know, is that a safety in the box or is that a will linebacker? I expect them to know, is that a size defense end on the outside, or is that an outside backer walked up? You know, the numbers and name stuff, we'll do that on game day. You know, right now we have numbers, you know, just to meet the rules laid out by the league. But to be honest with you, the identification of who the players are, we should be better than that as coaches and players by knowing our teammates.
You know what? That's not a bad explanation.
I guess.
But can you let it get to that point? I mean, right now, they just opened camp. I could see you taking the numbers away as time goes on, but right now.
No, the numbers are there, just not the names.
Well, then you never see the names, Michael, because they're facing you, right? Or unless he's talking about, like, the offensive line, the quarterback stepping to the offensive line. It's a little disingenuous, but
I think it's disingenuous, too, Don. I don't think that's the real reason.
Well, I'll say this. I don't like it, but at the same time, breaking down these guys into a fine powder, as a fan, I'm all for it. Because none of them, as a collective, have done a thing. Most losses by any franchise in the last 3 years in the NFL. And you've got some potential stars, but nobody that should be complaining about that. Everybody on that team right now, with the exception of the draft picks and guys trying to make the team, have done anything to make this team great. Because they're not even close. They've all attributed to how bad they've been. So break them down. I'm kind of with you that maybe it's trying too hard, but at the same time, who are you offending? What future Hall of Famer is being offended in that room?
Yeah, because when Coughlin did stuff like that, he's offending Tiki and Strahan. I mean, there were people that were there that had done something. There's nobody who's done anything.
Nobody has. I mean, like I said, Saquon's had a couple of really good seasons, but still, he's been on a team that's done nothing but lose. Daniel Jones had a great rookie season, but he's still, I'm not going to say part of the problem, that's too negative, but I don't think anybody can stand there and say, I'm not responsible for what happened.
And I love Sterling Shepard coming out and saying, you know, we have to decide, if we're going to be good, we have to buy. There's no choice. You buy in. You're a bad team. You haven't made the playoffs. There's no choice. Buy in.
Well, maybe that's what he's saying. He wants people to buy in, though.
Well, I think that's what Judge is doing. I'm going to run you into the ground until you puke, and let's see if you're good enough.
Now, the problem, he's got to be careful, because if you're not winning games, he can lose everybody. You know, at least Coughlin came in, even though he had a lot of stars on the team. Coughlin had coached in a couple of championship games with Jacksonville. You know, so he had been a head coach before. You know, 0-5, 0-6 to start the season, a lot of this stuff is going to look like, you know, give me a break. You know, you don't have any rings jingling and jangling. Nobody cares that you've been
coached
by
rings.
Bill Parr. No. Bill Belichick's got rings.
Well, Michael, but you know what? He's got rings, too. He was part of his staff.
Yeah, but here's
But they're
the
not
thing.
Jingling and jangling.
They're not jingling and jangling.
He's got three of them. If you put three rings in your pocket, they're going to jingle and jangle.
There have been a lot of coaches that fell off that Belichick tree that had a lot more that they accomplished in the NFL that fell flat on their face. No one cares that he's part of that tree. No one. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be a jerk. It's a fact. Don't you have to earn? Is that enough, Peter? Haven't we seen Bill Belichick clones to fail? How did it work for Mangini?
No one considers you a Super Bowl winning coach if you were the special teams coach or on a
A
legend.
He's done more in his career than any of them have done.
True, but I'm just saying when you're trying to attract players, the fact that you came from Belichick or you won rings as an assistant, you know, and I love Rex, but how many times would he throw out that he won a Super Bowl as the defensive line coach in Baltimore? That's great. He earned that ring and he accomplished something, but that doesn't resonate in a room. You know who has their rings jingling, jangling? Popovich, not his assistants. Belichick, not his assistants. Parcells, not his assistants. Believe me, there have been enough of them that have fell out of that tree that have accomplished nothing.
Michael, how you feeling right now? Toronto back up 15 with 8.5 to go.
I never even had a doubt. The NBA is a a league of runs. I mean, did you think they were going to win by 40?
You had complete faith in Nick Nurse.
I had complete faith in the whole program.
Yeah, the game has slowed down a lot. A lot more half court. Does not look the same as it looked in the second quarter. Of course, the Nets gave up over 70 points in this first playoff game.
Well, the big difference is that I've seen is that they're not winning any battles under the boards like they did against Portland. Like, they won every battle against Portland, right? This one.
Peter, I don't know if you heard this earlier in the show, but let me refresh your memory.
I guess what makes you different than every other human being that I know?
Talent. I don't know what else I could say.
and the
sad
part
is that's
there.
That's what pains me. He's not wrong.
By the way, he definitely also requested the drop.
No.
RJ? Yeah. Oh, RJ. My. RJ, get your handsome face on the mic right now. Did I request that?
No, he did not.
Oh, Peter, that's a serious allegation, and to be wrong, that's tough.
I don't know if I believe it.
So you think RJ's lying?
I don't think RJ's lying. Like, do you consider, if someone's being held captive, do you consider them a lie if the kidnapper's forcing them to say something? Speaking of which, did you guys see the story today of WWE star Sonya Deville nearly being kidnapped? I mean, a psychopath from Twitter who had been, you know, agreeing with her on Twitter and constantly supporting her, seemingly, all of a sudden turned on her. And then last night at 2:30 in the morning, when she goes to bed, this lunatic comes into her house with duct tape. What are those ties called again?
Ties.
Twist ties or whatever? Zip ties. That's right, zip ties. I'm sorry, I always get my kidnapping gear confused. Mace, a taser, like... And fortunately, when he opened up her screen door, the alarm went off, and her and someone else in the house with her ran out, got in a car, drove away, and called the police. And when the police came to the home, the lunatic was still there and basically confessed that he was planning to kidnap her.
I got to tell you, like, somebody like that has to go away for a long time, not just a short amount of time, a long, long time. Because people should not be terrorized because there are people that are out of their mind.
I mean, that is a really deranged individual. I mean, different kind of crazy.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So we talked about our new morning show, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on ESPN Radio. Justin Fields, Ohio State's quarterback, was on and talking about petitioning for a Big Ten season. Let's hear from Justin Fields.
My biggest message to them would just get them to realize how bad our players want to play, and just the guys that, you know, the guys that have come back for their fifth year, sixth year comeback off of injury. I think that we owe it to those. The most, you know, I've just seen behind the scenes and all the work that they put in and how much they really care about it. And I also believe all the coaches and all the parents, players want us to play. And they also say with the guidelines Ohio State has set.
It's going to be interesting if they all say they want to play and they're willing to sign away a waiver of any kind of lawsuit. I'm wondering why you would not play then.
I'm uncomfortable with a student athlete like signing a waiver. Now I know they have parents, but some of these parents, they're living vicariously through their kids anyway. So
do you think Howard Cross would sign that waiver? We asked him. He said, "Yeah."
Sounds like it.
Right. Listen, he's a responsible man.
He is a responsible man. So, but a lot of these, listen, Michael. A lot of these parents maybe aren't going to be thinking about the kids the way that Howard Cross. I think Howard Cross is an educated man who's doing what he believes is right. But, you know, there's some parents out there that just want their kids to play college football, and they don't want to take that away from them. And I wouldn't want to take it away from Marco or Jalen either. But it's a tough call. And the fact that these kids want to play, to me, is kind of irrelevant, right? Listen, I'm sure every restaurateur out there wants to be open and welcome in the public to sit inside so they can make money. But what they want and what is the actual rule, it's different. You can't just go by they want to play and they're working hard to play. We get that.
Right.
But yeah, but if they are, in fact, isolated from the entire campus and they want to play, who are they hurting other than themselves? You can't protect people from themselves.
True, but you're also putting a lot of faith in what to me is not exactly a system that I would put a lot of confidence in.
I would agree
college
with
football.
You.
Now, maybe Notre Dame might do it right, but Peter, come on, you tell me there aren't schools that are going to be like, all right, let's say he's negative because we want him to play on Saturday. We'll worry about it later.
But wait, these coaches that want to punch
the coronavirus in the face, you know, are they going to do the right
about
thing?
About college football coaches being over-anxious to play football? Do you mean like the SEC announcing their opening week schedule today?
Yes.
There's a 7-game schedule.
Football! Yes, football! They're playing football!
That's how they get it.
September 26th. Here's the week one schedule. So it's going to be bizarre. No Big Ten. No Pac-12. But you will get Alabama at Missouri. You'll get Florida at Ole Miss. Georgia at Arkansas. Kentucky at Auburn, Mississippi State at LSU, Tennessee at South Carolina, and Vanderbilt at Texas A&M.
Now,
special tonight, 7 p.m. on the SEC Network.
Now, going back to the conversation with Howard, right? He was saying that there's concern. He's like, look what's going on in Alabama. People aren't wearing masks down there. Like, he conceded that there's some areas that shouldn't play.
And those are the areas playing.
And those are the areas that are going to play. Right? It's just that's what leads me to believe that I can't trust any of these people, because are they really putting the students' health as the top priority? Maybe some schools they can do it because they will pull the plug if there's a positive. But if you're telling me down in Alabama where they're not taking it seriously, that the school is now going to take it as seriously.
Yeah, but, I mean, the head coach of Alabama is 69 years old. You would think he'd take it seriously.
I don't know, Michael. It's college football, man.
You know, you mentioned the morning show, Peter, our new morning show.
Damn right I did.
I'll be on tomorrow at 6:30 in the morning.
No, that's not true. But you're recording it tonight?
No, I'll be on live.
You
really are?
At 6:30.
6:30 in the morning.
Now, what do they have that the previous morning shows never had?
They came up with some cash.
No.
Yeah.
Don't lie like that.
Seriously.
No.
I mean, and the cash they offered will make me get up at 6 in the morning to get ready for the 6:30 spot.
Peter, are you hearing this?
I don't know. He's lying, but it's nice that he's doing that.
I love that Peter sees right through me. I'm totally lying.
Well, I mean,
I don't know if there's enough money.
Or, so you're not even doing a hit. That was a lie, too.
No.
Okay.
The whole thing's a lie.
Back to reality for a moment. This is a problem. Like, I told this story last week that Andrew went and looked at his Eagles schedule, and on the schedule it said Philadelphia at football team for the Washington game. But guys, I'm on the NFL.com. That's how we're listed on the schedule. Week one, Eagles at football team.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Why don't they just say at Washington? I don't get it.
Why'd you say at Washington?
I don't know.
Anyways,
because we know they play in Washington, we really don't know if they're a football team.
Exactly. Listen, the reason I was looking is because we did find out ESPN has unveiled our new Monday Night Football broadcast booth. Steve Levy, Brian Greasy, and Louis Riddick, and their debut will come. This is interesting, guys. Their debut will be in Game 2 of the first Monday Night doubleheader of the year.
See, I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm not running 10, ESPN 10. Yet. They should be the first game.
It's so listen to how weird this is. They have the new team on game 2, which is Titans at Broncos. They're not going to be on game 1 at 7:15, which is the Steelers and the Giants.
Yeah, that's a sexier game.
I mean, so that's at least be, for week one.
That's Fowler and Herb Street.
Yeah, but you talk about two non-playoff teams. At least you get Tennessee that made a run last year. Broncos are a very popular team. I understand the history, Giants-Steelers, but right now at this moment, the better game might be Tennessee-Denver.
Yeah, but
the
Don,
more interesting game might
Don,
be
you're talking about a 7-15 game with maybe a top two franchise in popularity in the Steelers up against the New York market. And then, Don, the second game, you're talking about 10 p.m., Titans-Broncos? I don't know. I'm going to call for Steve. We don't know each other well, but I'm going to put in a call. I think they should be on the 7-15.
There's a fighting chance they're doing enough of monitor to have them do both games.
Yeah, why not?
Right? If Kenny Albert can do it. I know he's a robot, but still.
That's the robot. That's Albert. That's the Albert. What's it called again? Albert Bot 2020.
Right.
The Albert,
the
Bot,
Albert
20.
Bot 2000.
Oh, the Albert Bot 2000.
That's
sorry.
What it is. You know, coming up, Peter, we can do it now, we can do it later, but I finally ran your amazing top five last week by my brother, the wrestling
guy.
I'm
very curious
and
to hear.
And he had some very interesting things to say.
Really?
Two in particular.
Were they hurtful?
No, he gave his opinion. Not hurtful. He respects the list, and he knows where you're coming from. He just disagreed on a couple of things.
Wow. All right. Well, I want to hear that next, perhaps.
Yes.
Well, I'm excited about this.
He's worthy.
Let's hear from LeBron James.
Why?
Shall we?
Well, first of all, here's why. Number one, there's a report out that the Lakers plan to wear Kobe-inspired jerseys if they advance past the first round. I sort of respect that. You don't want to wear the Kobe-inspired jersey to get blown out in the first round.
But
that's not how you want to be
blown out in the second round.
No, but I still like the idea of at least it's on a total bummer of a postseason if you lose in the second round.
Is it possible they're not ready yet?
Also possible. They're Black Mamba jerseys.
Hey, listen.
Co-designed by Kobe.
That obviously would have been, if everything was normal and the playoffs were beginning in April, that story would have still resonated. It's been so long and so much has happened since then. I'm glad they're doing something.
Right?
It's not that people forgot, but still, you're talking, that was January 26th. So if the playoffs started in April, it would just be a couple of months. It would still be fresh on everybody's mind. But now between the pandemic and everything socially that's gone on, it's kind of easy to think, wow, that was a long time ago, but it's still important.
Well, it feels like a different season. You know, I remember we talked about this. I really thought the biggest storyline in the NBA would be, can the Lakers win a championship for Kobe this year? And, man, it's such a different world now that I think that makes it's a really good point, Don. It is good that they're doing something because it feels like a different world. LeBron had some fun, though. He was asked a question in his presser about his Madden team, and he, as you can hear, he takes his Madden team very, very seriously.
I feel very confident going into week 11. Today is week 11. We head to Atlanta, face KCP and the Falcons, sitting at 8-2, and I feel good. Brady has his team well prepared. Coach Arians has his team prepared. Ronald Jones is the league MVP right now, and Gronk and Mike Evans and my receiving core are looking forward to the challenge against that defense. And then our defense is looking forward to trying to, which we no one can do, slowing down Julio Jones. You know, but if we can slow him down a little bit, we give ourselves a good chance to go into Atlanta and come out of there, 9-2. So see what happens.
It's a lot of detail.
He really did take it seriously.
Oh, my God. It's a lot of detail.
He's got a big game against Caldwell Pope and the Falcons. God, it's a good job out of the reporter, though, because you do get something. That's such points. That you're winning points down the line, Don, as a journalist, to then ask him something serious next time. Because you just gave him such a fun moment. So Dez Bryant, Don, is going to be working out for the Ravens. He hasn't played in the NFL since 2017. It's kind of been a heartbreaking end for someone who once had so much promise. But he's only 31. NFL Network's reporting it. John Harbaugh didn't say anything about it during a presser, but that is the report that Dez is trying out to be a Raven.
Well, 30 seems to be that magical number for wide receivers, right? I think that's when Megatron walked away. That's kind of when guys take a little bit of a dip, and now he's been away for 2 years. I hope the best for him. I'm not sure that's going to work out. Odds are against him, right?
Receiver is a tough one to come back to.
Good team, though. Good quarterback. So that's going to help. Not
Cowboys
really sure.
Cowboys' Gerald McCoy is having season-ending quad surgery. The defensive tackle tore his right quad during individual drills earlier today. So he's having season-ending surgery, and unfortunately, like we said, probably something you'll see more of. The Giants released veteran kicker Chandler Catanzaro. And
but
now
Gano's in there, right?
Graham Gano, who will reunite with Dave Gettleman from his Carolina days. Of course, I rooted for Graham Gano for a long time in Washington as well. He's a solid veteran kicker.
Hmm.
I was thinking tomorrow, Don, we could do a full kicking preview on the show. What are your thoughts?
I'm not on board with that.
All right, I've teased it long enough. Now to close ENN, tell me what Dave LaGreca's problems with my list were.
Well, he felt that Bobby the Brain Heenan at one was kind of Tonka truck just because then you take Andre the Giant off because they're connected, he said. That a lot of the guys that went up against him were all, you know, the Bobby rivalry. So how do you have, like, one cancels out the other, right? That was his logic behind it.
I hear it. Okay.
All right.
I disagree with the argument.
And the other one that he had took more of exception to, and he thinks maybe this is because you're more of a WWE/F guy, is that he believed that Nick Bockwinkel deserved to be in the top five. But that was not during his WWE run. So maybe you were a little biased that way, he felt.
Well, not just, by the way, that's more than just region. That's age, too. Nick Bockwinkel, I never saw a match between him and Bockwinkel.
But he felt that was significant enough. And as a matter of fact, according to my brother, never beat him.
Hogan never won, and Hogan never pinned Piper either, which is interesting. But Bockwinkel is not, in my group of friends that discussed this, no one suggested Bockwinkel, I don't think.
Okay. Well, he loved the list, but.
It's a tremendous job by your brother. Pushing the limits, making me think. That'll do it for ENN on this Monday evening as the Raptors have extended it to 19. The Nets will lose game one.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.